the most important day on the broadcast calendar for 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. It's the 2014 WCHL Community Forum, 10 hours live from the WCHL studios in Chapel Hill, featuring more than 60 members of our community here to discuss and debate a variety of local issues. The WCHL Community Forum is presented by Orange County Government. Our forum is also brought to you by Jersey Mike's, Viatree, the UPS Stores, and Durham Technical Community College. Join us now on WCHL and streaming live on our website, chapelboro.com. Now, hour two of the WCHL Community Forum, Public Safety. Here's your moderator, Fred Black.
And welcome to hour two of the 2014 WCHL Community Forum. And for the listeners out there, you can submit your questions for our panelists via Twitter with the hashtag WCHL Forum. And you can follow the forum on Twitter with hashtag WCHL Forum and also on WCHL and chapelboro.com. So first, let me say that Chapel Hill, Carrboro, Hillsboro, Orange County, and the University of North Carolina all have their own separate policing agencies and their own separate issues to keep in mind in order to keep all of their people safe. However, there's plenty of overlap as well. National, state, local issues affect how these authorities manage things on a daily basis in this ever-changing world of ours, and we see it every day in our hometowns. So with that in mind, let me welcome today's panelists. First, Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt of Chapel Hill.
Hi, welcome, Fred. Mark. Glad to be here.
Mayor Tom Stevens of Hillsboro.
Hello, Fred. It's great to be here.
Jeff McCracken, who is chief of the UNC Public Safety.
Good morning. Thank you.
Chris Blue, chief of Chapel Hill.
Good morning, Fred.
Tom Horton, chief of Carrboro.
That's Walter Horton.
I'm sorry, Walter. I'm reading too far down. And last but not least, our Chapel Hill Fire Chief, Dan Jones. Welcome to all of you. And public safety is something that many times we just take for granted. We just assume it. But let me start by throwing out a question. For many people, there's the perception of public safety and the reality of public safety. From your specific vantage points, where do you see the gap between that perception and reality? And let's start with Mayor Kleinschmidt.
Well, you know, I think Chapel Hill is blessed with a general perception in the community as well as in the state of North Carolina is a very safe community. And I think that that reputation is well earned and that we have a police department and actually two police departments operating within our community who work hard to identify to create relationships with people and that I think helps bolster that sense so that we live in a safe place. The perception that perception fortunately is I think generally true, but we aren't free from crime. We aren't free from violence. We're not a community that just happened to be a safe place. It's because we have a community-based policing model, both the university and with the town, that create it. And it requires that we remain vigilant and that we continue to support those policies. We've had high-profile crimes in our community. We know we are not immune to that. I'm proud to be part of a group of mayors and others in our state and nation who continue to fight for strong policies to ensure that kind of violence doesn't persist. But it takes that kind of vigilance, and I'm proud to be in a town like that.
Well, thank you, Mayor. Follow on, Jeff McCracken, chief of UNC Public Safety. Mark mentioned that we share some territory. How does that perception look from your vantage point?
Well, let me just say I certainly agree with the mayor that we have very important partnership with the Chapel Hill Police Department. And we do have an extended jurisdiction that allows our officers to act on crimes that occur in their presence while they're on duty in a defined area downtown. So we work closely with the Chapel Hill Police Department and I agree, we have a safe community. I think sometimes from the university's perspective, we have notification things that we have to do, federally regulated, and there are times I think we are pushing information out about crime where it used to be that you just relied on the local media to pick up on it. So there are times when I'll have calls or emails from parents who may be concerned, but when I explain, you're getting this notification because we're actually sending it to you through email, and then they realize that the actual incidents of crime are fairly low.
And in the old days, they wouldn't have known about it at all.
Absolutely,
usually.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that there is a perception that's caused by this notification that's really driven by federal regulation on our part.
Yeah. So. Well, back in the old days when Mayor Stevens was a student at Chapel Hill, they didn't have smartphones or any other notifications, did they?
We did not. If you were playing video games, you know, when somebody was chasing you, you just had to really run.
Well, what about the perception from Hillsborough?
Well, Hillsborough is perceived generally as a safe place. I think there's a lot of congruence. We certainly struggle with some neighborhoods that have a perception sometimes of not being particularly safe when actually they are. And then sometimes there are places that unfortunately are not really safe, but it hasn't been recognized by the general public. But overall, I think there's a lot of congruence between what's safe, what's not safe. And I'll pick up again on something that Mayor Kleinschmidt talked about, a lot of intention. We have an excellent police chief, a very, very active community policing model that we're using, a lot of engagement with community watch folks, a real outreach and a lot of intention into making the entire community a really safe place, and it does not happen by accident.
Okay. Well, thank you. Carrboro Chief Walter Horton, how's your perception?
I agree with what everybody has said. We are very lucky in Carrboro. When I started 20 years ago, we did have a lot of rough spots in town, but with our efforts and help of the community, we were able to quiet those communities down. But we still do have crime in the community, and again, it's a very safe community, and people, I guess, they just don't realize it, that stuff does go on here. We work together with all the other agencies in here, Chapel Hill, UNC, the fire departments, just to make the community safer. We try to notify the community as much as we can by, this is our first year of actually using social media to get the message out about crime prevention stuff that's going on in particular neighborhoods. We utilize email listserv. So we're trying new things to get information out to people. Also, we're trying to step up our community policing efforts, trying to get our officers to engage more with the community, to get out of the car and just say hello. Again, not everybody may not, the police wants to talk to me, and we're trying to get that stigma away from the police that we're here to serve, we're here to help, and that's what we're
And it starts at the early age with the young kids, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes.
Getting them to understand that you're not a force of evil.
Yes.
Yeah. Chief Blue, Chapel Hill, I know you have used a lot of social media in the last few years, and people can go online and see where crimes have been committed. They can follow trends and patterns and all of that. But what's your view of the reality versus perception?
Well, I think we're all blessed, and I agree with everything that's been said so far. We're also all blessed with the reality that nationally, violent crime is trending down and has been for a long time, and property crimes are trending up, and we're experiencing that same thing in our community. So if you had to choose between the two, I think we would all choose property crime as preferable, if you have to have any at all. Mayor Kleinschmidt mentioned something important before, and it's about relationships. And if you look around this table here, these are all folks who really do work together regularly and communicate regularly. That's not lip service. That's why our communities are as safe as they are, because we work very hard at building and preserving relationships. So those times that an incident happens on campus and moves into the Chapel Hill jurisdiction or vice versa or into Carrboro, it's seamless, and our responses are seamless and our communication is seamless. I will say that the perception of safety in our community is accurate. but that doesn't mean we shouldn't remain vigilant. Our communities are changing. We're becoming more dense, and there'll be more folks here who we will need to continue to reach out to and build relationships with. So I think we're doing a really good job, and we need to keep it up.
Well, let's shift to another aspect of public safety and ask Chapel Hill Police Fire Chief Dan Jones for his insights into this.
Fred, I think two points I would make. One, we see in our community surveys that that public safety does rank very high. The citizens' perception of law enforcement and fire rescue in these communities is very good. But that creates a challenge for those of us who are leaders in public safety because the do more with less doesn't always work very well for public safety. And when the citizens have a perception that all is well and things are being handled as best as they can be, and there's plenty of resources, I think when we see that there are needs, it's difficult for us to get that message across because people say, well, crime is low, we're not having a lot of fires or vehicle accidents or whatever, so we must be in good shape. And so when any of these chiefs try to make the public case that additional resources are needed or resources need to be updated or new technology is necessary, it's hard to overcome that perception that everything's good. Why do we need to spend any more money? It's all good. So that's a tough challenge in this community. The other thing that I'd like to echo off Chief McCracken and Chief Blue is the cooperation. And I'll just give you an example of how that works. For about 3 hours, once every 6 weeks or so, most of the public safety leaders around this table and others representing the sheriff's office, EMS, emergency management, we gather on campus for a session amongst the leadership, and we discuss some of the hard issues that we're facing. And we talk about how we would deal with particularly threats to the community, whether it be an active shooter or a tornado or a hurricane or a bomb threat. And we actually talk those through as a group with all the different disciplines present and giving their input. And we learn from each other. I've learned more about law enforcement in the last few years attending those meetings than I ever did previously. And I know from feedback of my colleagues, they've learned more about fire rescue and EMS than they ever knew before. And so that sharing then plays itself out because we're small towns. This is a small community, but we have urban issues here. Mm-hmm. And when we have the leadership gather and share information and exchange methodologies and technologies and talk about how we'll work together, then when we're actually facing these issues, it makes it go much, much smoother.
Yeah, and I appreciate you mentioning Orange County, too. Orange County Sheriff Pendy Lindegrass was going to be with us today, but something came up and he had to cancel out at the last minute. But we can't forget that we're all residents of a county, and there's a county sheriff, and we have all sorts of layers. And so without cooperation, it seems like that would be a real difficult thing. Let me go back to the mayors. You talk to citizens about all kinds of things all the time, whether you ask or they bring it up to you. What do you hear from citizens that tells you what they think about the public safety issues that weigh heavily in their minds?
Right.
What do you get from citizens?
Well, I think a lot of it's perception-based, and it's borne out by the community survey that...
Is it drugs? Is it theft of,
okay,
from cars?
Oh, like perhaps what are some of the higher... I'll tell you, there's two things. One, there's not enough police officers on Franklin Street.
Okay.
And there are too many police officers on Martin Luther King Boulevard. it's one of the two. I mean,
is that what we call budget supplement?
Well,
no, well, because that money goes to schools.
Yeah, right. It doesn't come back to the town. Everybody, they actually do get a lot of people talking to me
too
about
too many on King and not enough on Franklin.
Right, about speeding tickets on Martin Luther King. Even a council member had one of them in recent years. But I think, and a lot of it though is perception driven, mm-hmm. and people I think recognize that. As Chief Blue mentioned, that the crime that is occurring in our community is largely property crimes, and people understand, wow, well, if it's breaking in, if I'm parking in a grocery store and somebody attacks me, they could be anybody who could be victim of that. But they're generally grateful for and recognize the high level of safety that we do provide. And that was borne out by the, as I mentioned before, the community survey that Chief Jones mentioned. We top out in the, there may be 2 or 3% of communities in the country who have the kind of confidence in their public safety officials than Chapel Hill does.
Well, thank you. Mayor Stevens.
Well, great question, Fred. We have every year what we call a public safety summit, and our police chief and officials get together, and we bring together the community groups and ask that very question, what's on your mind? And sometimes we pass around little cards, and people get to write things down. And so if there is a particular a drug issue in some neighborhood or something, you'll certainly hear about that, so they'll it's more specific to just what's happening on my neighborhood. 50% of all the comments we get at that community summit is usually about speeding in the neighborhoods. and in many ways, I see that as a good thing. Uh-huh. We all trouble with it. We all deal, and I'm sure the officers will smile at this. The neighborhoods will complete about the speeding. We'll target a neighborhood and sit officers there, and of course it's the folks in the neighborhood. And why are you here? Why aren't you out? Doing
where the real crime
where the real crime is. And so there's always why aren't there more patrol here? Or you never go to my neighborhood. And we take that with a grain of salt, but we also listen to that. I am also happy to say, and I get very proud about that, of how many times citizens have come up to me and said, I want to compliment your officers. I want to compliment how they responded to something. One guy wrote me an email one time. He says, I got a ticket the other day, and they really stopped me. It was so professional and stuff, and I deserved it.
But
professionalism in which that was handled, getting those positive comments, I sleep a lot better at night knowing I get those.
Well, we've had our first Twitter question, and Zach Godwin is running our Twitter desk this hour. Zach, what was the question?
Well, Martin Malloy in Hillsborough had a question about resource allocation. He says, I wonder why the towns of Hillsborough and Carrboro are doing random license checks at all when scarce resources could be used elsewhere.
Well, that's sort of what we were just addressing, right? Let's ask Chief Horton. What do you say, Walter?
The traffic checkpoints are a valuable tool that we use to keep our community safe. Carrboro prides itself in being a pedestrian, bike-friendly town. It's very dense. We have a lot of people walking. So it's important that we monitor the traffic and perform traffic enforcement to keep accidents down, pedestrian struck, bicyclist struck. Also, people driving is a privilege. You have to have your cars registered, your driver's license, everything in order. We just do that to make sure that people will be safe on the road. Also, the checkpoints are used as a tool. Here recently, we actually were able to identify a breaking and entering suspect who came through the checkpoint. We were able to stop identify him. The vehicle fit the description that had been mentioned in several reports in the area, and that was able to close several cases.
You communicate that to people, Walter, in some way that we had an arrest based on a checkpoint? I mean, how would they know that this really paid off?
No, at this time we do not, but that's something we're working on now with use of social media and getting the word out. Also, we're looking at just, again, putting the words out that, yes, we'll be doing a traffic checkpoint on this date and such, keeping the community informed. It's the actual amount of time that we do traffic checkpoints is minute. It's just a small amount of time, so it may seem to look like we're using a lot of resources, but we're really not.
Do you do checkpoints on campus, Chief McCracken?
We do occasionally, and actually we do them in conjunction sometimes with the Chapel Hill Police Department as well. It may be a license checkpoint, or it could be an alcohol-related checkpoint, but we do them
and
as well.
Seat belts and
absolutely
all of that. Mayor Stevens, were you going to add
a similar thing? We get that question. It's not a huge allocation of resources, but it seems to have a good payoff. We have some citizens who said this is excellent. We're glad to see the police presence. We have others who, you know, frankly say, you know, why are the police out there? It feels, you know, like, you know, they're watching us all the time. And, well, I'm not sure if it pleases everybody, but there is a method to.
And there's a return.
And there's a return to it. And we also pay attention to when citizens give us a response. Mostly what we want to look at is what's the impact? How is it really making a difference? Probably the best compliment I ever received was from one of our judges who volunteered. He said, I really appreciate what the chief is doing, and I can see when the officers come through that you're trying to accomplish something. You're just not doing transactions, and they saw that from the court point of view. And we certainly see it in our statistics. We certainly see it in the overall. And sometimes people don't always agree with it, so our ears are open, we listen, and we do make adjustments accordingly to what citizens are telling us.
Chief Chris Blue, you were going to comment on that.
Well, I was just going to speak to traffic enforcement for just a moment.
After the mayor said you had too many officers on King.
Well, he said he had heard that.
See how we start?
And believe it or not, I get some of those same feedback points made. I do think it's important to note that the high visibility traffic enforcement meets a lot of interest. Number one, I think we've all heard in our communities that folks are concerned about bicycle and pedestrian safety, as Chief Horton mentioned. I am also absolutely convinced that high visibility traffic enforcement reduces property crime. And what I mean by that is if you're coming in on a major corridor into our community to break into houses in one of our neighborhoods, as we know people do, and you see active law enforcement on the major corridors enforcing the speed limit, you will logically conclude that they may still be out there when I leave that house that I just broke into. Someplace else. Believe that. And, we have a strategic plan in our police department here in Chapel Hill that was created based on community feedback. And it's got five goals, goal number five being all about traffic safety. So we are trying to take that community feedback and make that something that's part of our daily operations. I'll share this, and then I'll stop talking about traffic unless you want me to keep going, and I can go a long time. Just this quarter, crashes in Chapel Hill are down 24%. And last year, at the end of the year, crashes with injuries were down 12%. I'm absolutely convinced that that's a result of an aggressive traffic enforcement campaign. We wrote 1,456 citations the first quarter of calendar year 2014. 828 of those were for speeds in excess of 15 miles per hour over the posted speed limit.
Wow.
So we're not writing 3 and 4 and not even 9 miles over. We're writing excessive speeds in a community that says traffic safety is very important.
Well, let me ask Chief Dan Jones of our fire department. You do some enforcement work too, and you are not always praised when people have one of your safety folks come by and maybe shut them down. Or I've been at a public meeting where the fire marshal came in and said, too many people in here, somebody has to leave. So you have to deal with the public in that way too.
We do, and our greatest concern and possibly the greatest threat in Chapel Hill is overcrowding, particularly in clubs and bars. There's a long history in this nation of multiple death tragedies in overcrowded clubs. And Chapel Hill, being a university community, has more than our share of clubs and bars. And when a popular band is playing or a big sports event is on TV, those clubs and bars tend to pack up. And the last thing we want to see in Chapel Hill is a tragedy where we're putting university students in body bags. So, we're pretty hardcore on that. And some of the club and bar owners are not happy about it, and they like to call the mayor and call the city manager and complain that we're hurting their business. But our first priority is to protect the residents and the students here in this community. And most of our club and bar owners are very conscious of safety, and they count their patrons in and out the door, and they're careful about that. But we have a few. It's like in the first hour when they were talking about overcrowding and housing. We have a few bar owners like the landlords who push the rules and push the limits thinking they can make some money before they get caught. And our job is to catch them.
Well, it's amazing how fast this is going, but you're listening to Hour 2 of the 2014 WCHL Community Forum on the subject of public safety. And our panelists are Jeff McCracken from UNC, Chris Blue from Chapel Hill, Tom Stevens, mayor of Hillsborough, Dan Jones of Chapel Hill, Walter Horton of Carrboro, and Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt of Chapel Hill. And I'm Fred Black. And be sure to follow us on Twitter and submit your questions using the hashtag WCHL Forum. We're going to have more on public safety right after we come back from this short break.
At Vietri, our mission is to encourage the gathering of family and friends to celebrate and share life. We do this through our handcrafted Italian ceramics for home and garden and through our connection with the local community. We are proud to be a vibrant member of Hillsborough and the surrounding area for over 30 years and to sponsor this year's important WCHL Forum, a family-owned company that encourages collaboration, the sharing of ideas, and the work of many hands. Vietri gives back through fundraising, donations, and volunteerism, and it values the partnerships promoted by today's forum.
Spring is here, and you know what that means. Summer is right around the corner. You definitely want to look and feel your best, so Jersey Mike's Subs invites you to eat healthy with our 99% fat-free turkey, a delicious low-fat choice that's loaded with lean protein and great flavor, piled high with fresh onions, lettuce, and tomatoes, and served on our store-baked white or wheat bread. Eating one is a fantastic way to feel good about yourself. Order online at jerseymikesubs.com or call us at 919-918-SUBS.
Every day at the UPS Store, we're proud to support our community, and we're proud to help small businesses. That's why we're your community resource for small business solutions. More than packing and shipping, we provide professional printing services, a real street address for business mailboxes, document shredding, secure scanning of documents for digital storage, and more. To learn more about how we can help you with all of your small business needs, stop by the UPS Stores in Chapel Hill North, on Fordham Boulevard, and in Meadowmont.
The UPS Store, where we have fun taking exceptional care of our customers.
What are your plans for summer? How about getting a head start on college courses at Durham Tech? General online registration for summer term 2014 for all advised students, including those new to the college, newly admitted to a program, visiting students, or returning students, begins April 17. Students who need to meet with an advisor should schedule an appointment as soon as possible. Summer term classes begin May 19. For additional information, please visit www.durhamtech.edu/registration.
Did you know you may qualify to have your dog or cat fixed for free or at a reduced rate? You may qualify if your household is either low or moderate income, and you will qualify if you receive public assistance. Do your part to control the pet population. Also, be sure your cats and dogs are currently vaccinated against rabies and immediately call Animal Services to report all contact with wildlife. To learn more about these services, call the Orange County Animal Services at 919-942-7387, extension 224.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Trey Manwaring. It's half off, $200 worth of digitizing services available now for $100. 35mm slides have become casualties of the digital age, but with today's deal, bring your precious family memories to a modern medium. Trey's been in the industry for over 20 years, and he believes in preserving your family's history. He'll professionally scan your 35mm slides and save them in numerical order to digital format. It's half off from Trey Manwaring. It's available for limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
You're listening to the 2014 WCHL Community Forum on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL and streaming live on our website, chapelboro.com. Once again, here is Fred Black.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the 2014 WCHL Community Forum on the subject of public safety. I'm Fred Black, here with panelist Jeff McCracken of UNC, Chris Blue of Chapel Hill, Mayor Tom Stevens of Hillsborough, Chief Dan Jones of the Chapel Hill Fire Department, Walter Horton, Chief of Police of Carrboro, and Mark Kleinschmidt, our Mayor of Chapel Hill. And we've been talking about generally the perception versus the reality of public safety and how most citizens seem to be very satisfied with the public safety services provided by our various agencies in our towns. But let me jump to a more specific question coming from Elizabeth Friend of WCHL.
Thanks, Fred. So we've had some significant weather events in the past year, from the June floods to the all the winter ice that we had. And I'm curious, what lessons do you feel you've learned from those events, specifically thinking about the large number of folks who are commuters who are either trying to get home from other places or trying to get from their job in Chapel Hill to where they live? What public safety lessons can we take from these events?
Let's start with Chris Blue.
Well, I think in recent weather events are great examples of those relationships we talked about before, helping us get through those situations. Thankfully, we don't have to deal with lots of severe weather here, but we have built a pretty good model when we do special events of coming together in a unified command kind of setting and talking about how we solve some problem, and that applies in a weather event as well. We certainly had a few rough ones this year and had a chance to practice some of those skills. One of the takeaways I think is very clear is that we do need some additional emergency operations center facilities where we can get all of our public safety leaders together in a space that allows us to work with the technology that we all rely upon now, lots of room, some creature comforts, because we know those spaces are going to be open for a period of time. And right now, at least for the town of Chapel Hill, and we do have access to UNC's facilities, and they're very generous, but the town of Chapel Hill Emergency Operations Center is a very small room in the basement of fire station number one. You can get about six or eight people in there comfortably. And we feel the strain of those facilities when we have those large-scale events. Mm-hmm.
Chief Jeff McCracken, what about on campus when you're faced with these events?
So there's one organization who's not represented here today because they're not in the public safety arena, but they do play a huge role, particularly on the campus, related to weather events, and that's Chapel Hill Transit. So Chapel Hill Transit is a big partner for the university. We would not be able to operate without our public transportation, and we work very closely with Chapel Hill Transit on weather-related incidents to make sure that we can get our people back to their vehicles and that we make all the appropriate announcements ahead of time. Sometimes Mother Nature beats us to the punch. We try our best to predict what's going to happen. I think we only missed one this year. But for the most part,
it was a doozy, though.
Yeah, we did very well for the most part, and would not have been able to do what we did do without Chapel Hill Transit's efforts, as well as Triangle Transit. So I think that's big. As far as just events that we have in the town, Chief Blue is right. The university obviously has several major events every year, football, basketball, and we could not have those events if it was not for the partnerships we have with the local agencies, fire department, EMS, certainly the sheriff's department helps us with all of our major events as well. So it is an ongoing partnership that enables us to operate.
Mm-hmm. Chief Walter Horton.
The weather events, the event that's sticking in my mind is the flooding we had back in June 30th. One of our communities, Rocky Brook Mobile Home Community, was hit terribly bad. It displaced a lot of families for several days. And we worked with our Carrboro Fire as well as Chapel Hill Police, where we had flooding all over town, trying to cut off the roads to keep people from driving into the high waters and such.
And down lines.
Yes. Yeah. We relied on all our partnerships to get those residents what they needed, temporary shelter, get them. We also used some buses to transport them to the Century Center for temporary shelter till we could get them to hotels and so forth. Work with various agencies, Red Cross, other community agencies, trying to get them the stuff that they lost.
Well, I guess the real question, though, is was there something else you could have done in anticipation of that? I mean, it just really came so fast.
It came so fast. I was actually in a board retreat, and we were watching it rain, and the radio started going off, and right when we broke, I rode down South Greensboro and just saw the water standing. I think in that situation we did the best we could do because it just happened so fast. No matter how much planning you do have, and that's what we have these meetings to discuss our plans if this happens, whatever, something's always going to come up that you're not mm-hmm. totally prepared for.
Mm-hmm. I think we all experienced that, not only with that flood, but with that snow that came in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. Well, Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt, you're still not in your council meeting room because of that flooding.
That's right. We miss our chamber.
What kind of response did you get from citizens, though, on the performance of our public safety professionals as a result of both of those events?
In terms of public safety, I think it was high praise. I think we in cooperation with our neighbors and neighboring jurisdictions, I think we responded very quickly, and it was greatly appreciated. And the night of that of the flood, after the, I remember my sister being stuck out in her car and going down roads trying to get to my house, and she couldn't. Trees were coming down all over the place. She was taking pictures and putting on Facebook. The chief was afraid that I was the one out there doing that, but she finally made it home. And then we heard about the displacement of so many people from their homes. I went out to the and visited the shelter that that had been set up at a local school, and even there, the folks who were so directly affected by that event were so grateful for the quickness of the response of EMS, the Red Cross, the police, fire, and as well as Chapel Hill Transit. And I think it's important that, and glad that Chief McCracken mentioned this, the role of Chapel Hill Transit in helping us respond to any event or emergency, not only to be in how we're going to be responsive to those things when they happen, but how we can use them to plan better in anticipation of those events. They've been critical in helping us do a good job in that.
Well, thank you. Chief Dan Jones.
I think another agency that a lot of people don't think of as public safety, but I know everybody around this table thinks of them as public safety, and that's Public Works and DOT. During storms, whether it's a severe thunderstorm with power lines down, trees down, blocked roads, or it's a weather, ice, snow event, we rely so heavily on Public Works, and they're part of our emergency management command team at maintaining roads and maintaining access into neighborhoods and making it so that we can get hospital staff in and out of work. And so we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Public Works. The other thing I'd like to mention here is that I think we really need to do a better job of educating the public about having their own emergency plans. No community, regardless of its size, not even somebody the size of Raleigh, can have enough resources to be prepared for every potential event. Mm-hmm. It's just impossible. It's not affordable. And I think citizens need to have take more responsibility on themselves to have a plan for when these events occur, how they're going to get home, how they're going to get together with their family, what's their supply status at their home for food,
water
those
goods,
types of things. Yeah. If they have medication issues, do they keep enough on hand to last them at least a couple days? If they become stranded, do they have a plan for how they're going to deal with that? Do they have alternative places to go? And I think we need to do a better job of educating our citizens to really think these things through and talk them through with their families and have a plan and understand what they can do to help themselves.
And that's important as we are looking at hurricane season before us.
Absolutely.
It's the same thing.
It's exactly the same thing. And what we try to convey to people is you should always have enough on hand, supplies, whatever, to last for 72 hours. Mm-hmm. If you can get through the first 72 hours, by that time there will be plenty of help. But even we in emergency services figure that we have to be on our own for 72 hours before the state or the federal government will be here to help us. So I think that's a good rule of thumb for families as well.
Well, thanks for making that point. Each of the communities represented here have big events, and we like big events. We bring people from all over for big events. They're economically helpful events. Chapel Hill had an event that they had to cancel because of the perceptions and the reality, and so we don't have Apple Chill anymore. We have Halloween, which brings more people than we might like. Public safety drives a lot of these public policy decisions that we make, it seems to me, because we could have events every weekend, but we couldn't afford what goes with them, it seems. Let's start with Carrboro. What do you do special, Chief Horton, to take care of these big events that you have in Carrboro? You just had one, and you've got another one coming up.
Yeah, we should have. We've got Carrboro Day coming up. That's a smaller thing. We're having some a Carrboro block party. We had it last year. We're having it again up at Cat's Cradle, where the potential to draw 2,000 to 3,000 people in the area of the new hotel in that parking lot. We coordinate with other department heads in the town, especially the fire and public works, on how to deal with that, especially, and also the people at the venue who are throwing the event.
And then the other communities provide backup if necessary.
If we need to, if we can staff it ourselves, we use all our manpower. But we also reach out to the other agencies, Chapel Hill and campus, if we do have something going on where the majority of our people need to deal with that event. They come and back us up on our call load within the town, or if we need them to come assist work the event, they have the staff and they will send them as well.
What about in Hillsboro, Merrill Stevens?
Special events and making sure that where they are safe.
You're
to
the
attend.
Town of special events.
We are the town of special events. Yeah, so it's very, very much just engaging our law officers, engaging our first responders, just making sure that we're prepared.
And most people are cooperative, aren't they?
Most people are incredibly cooperative. We're trying to keep a master, you know, list of what events are happening when, and somewhat of a permitting process, mostly so we just can be informed about, so we're not taken by surprise by events, and people start when they're planning. We have a lot of private, I would say, businesses will do like a Westoberfest on our West End, because we have the brewery there and have, you know, some nice events, and just people are pretty good about right from the beginning, including public safety as part of their thinking. At this point, this is not necessarily a special event, but it's a big change in Hillsboro, which is very important to us, and that is the soon this summer opening of Riverwalk.
Yes.
So we're going to have this incredible greenway that goes right through the middle of town,
which you will
to celebrate
police.
The river, which will be finished and open this summer. There will be a special event on October 11th. We're in the planning stages for that now. It is amazing, and we're also spending a lot of attention about what's the security issues. We're putting extra money. We want to start right from the get-go to make sure that we have lots of presence for the police, for, you know, bicycles and cars. And also kudos to Orange Rural Fire, which we have a partnership with Orange Rural and the town. And able to join resources. It's also our first responders. And so they're doing now lots of special training. You know, how do you do rescue in a river? You know, because we're going to have more people on the river, we better be prepared. So
drinking that beer, right?
Drinking that beer, you know, and we try to educate people, to, you know, like, with, you know, about what's sort of safest when you're out there on the trails. But there's always going to be somebody. So are we prepared? So we're having to be thinking ahead and moving forward. Partly it's events, but partly it's a lot of the open space amenities that we have in the Hillsboro area. We're paying attention to
thank
that.
Thank you. UNC Chief McCracken, some would say every night's a special event on campus.
Yeah, we certainly have more than our fair share of events on campus, as you would imagine. And football really are the biggest events as far as numbers attending. You know, depending upon who we're playing and how we're playing, we can have 60,000 people plus attend a football game. And obviously that's a major impact not only on the campus but on the city as well. So the partnerships that I talked about earlier are extremely important. You know, we rely on the fire department, EMS, Chapel Hill, Carrboro, the sheriff's department, even the highway patrol to assist us with those events. And if we didn't have those partnerships, we could not hold the events. Obviously, the university police department does not have the resources to handle an event of that magnitude by itself. So that's very important. And I think every time we have an event, it's we learn something. During the last couple of years, we began to have weekday football games, and those are always interesting and takes extra planning to make those successful. So a lot of impact on the campus with events.
Let me shift to Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt, because I think in your term as mayor, probably one of the most controversial events was when the Chapel Hill Police Department took what some would euphemistically call countermeasures to address the situation down there at the Tate Building. Mm-hmm. And a lot of discussion and a lot of angst, I think would be safe to say. What did you learn from that, from the public safety point of view?
Well, I gained, through that whole process, I gained, well, my relationship with our law enforcement officers and our chief and my confidence and faith in them was certainly cemented and grew. Because that relationship was able to do that, we now can talk about and have conversations about the expectations of our community and on how policing should occur in our community. To my great pleasure, the department has opened itself up to receiving that. And you know, it's interesting because they've been trying to do it for so long, you know, trying to elicit and incorporate community input into the way that they police and the policies that we have in policing the community. That actually opened up this people started walking through the doors when that happened. They mm-hmm. said, "Oh, well, we have an idea after you tried that." Mm-hmm. That response was welcomed and it was incorporated. We now have a community advisory board that assists in the implementation and creation and of policing policy. We've started a police academy for citizens, mm-hmm. So that they can learn about what all the complicating factors that are involved in how policing occurs in a community like ours. Mm-hmm. And we've also looked at ways in which the police department incorporates itself into the work of other departments, and we've heard examples of that today and how they all work together. One of the interesting innovations that that has come in recent years is the manager has identified an individual who will be our emergency manager whenever an emergency is going to happen. We can, you know, there are obvious examples of what those emergencies could be. We've talked about them, snow events, weather events. But we've, you know, Carolina beating Duke is an emergency. And what that means is we're going to implement a system in those moments that allows for an individual to direct the operations of multiple departments, not just the ones that were mentioned here represented here, but the entire array of town employees. And we work. We do that well because we've had these opportunities to talk about the expectations of town services and how they're employed in our community, largely, in large part, through the conversations that were sparked.
So there was a lot of learning.
A lot of learning.
Chief Blue, what did you learn?
Well, Mayor Kleinschmidt is right. That was a great feedback opportunity, and we got lots of it. But I say that, welcoming that feedback. The mayor mentioned a number of procedural changes that resulted. It is true that that was a really tough event, and that was early in my time as police chief. And I learned, I think, a career's worth of leadership lessons in that 6 or 8 month period of time when that was really a tough community issue. But I will say, great things that came out of it. I think we were really able to reinforce that notion that we are interested in feedback, because how we police is very much a reflection of community expectations. And I say that with 100% sincerity, and we got lots of good information back that has helped us either create or modify existing operational policies that will give us, particularly our decision makers who were in the moment of an event, give them additional tools they can use to solve a problem. And we're excited about that moving forward. I will just say this in closing on that question. That is a situation that we reflect on almost every day in our department. And the lessons
and it's reflected
learned
in your strategic plan.
Absolutely. So a valuable learning experience, and I hope we don't repeat it anytime soon.
Chief Walter Jones. Walter Horton of Carrboro, you watched all of this and then had your own situation pop up.
Yes.
How did you put to use what you learned?
Communication is the key, and partnerships. We actually had board members. The mayor at the time actually opened up a dialogue with the subjects that tried to take over which is known now, the CVS property. We try to respect people's rights to protest and share their feelings about things going on in the community. But at the same time, we need to keep order and the general public safe. So again, communication is the key. In this particular incident, we went in, spoke to the individuals, and basically told them that you're going to have to leave or you're going to face some charges, and gave them some time to make the decision whether to get charged or leave. And thankfully, they chose the right decision. But again, it was communication was the key with those individuals, identifying the leaders of the different groups, and with the assistance of our board members, we were able to get that situation resolved calmly.
Chief Dan Jones.
I think one of the things as just a peripheral support agency in those kinds of operations, it's important to remember about both what happened on Franklin Street and what happened in Carrboro, is that both of those incidents were resolved without injury to anybody, without injury to the people who were protesting or involved, and without any injuries to the public safety officers that had to intervene and enforce the community's laws and rules. So I think anytime in whether you're dealing with an emergency like a structure fire or an emergency like a protest or a fight or whatever, public safety officials have to make split second decisions, sometimes with very limited information. And when they can do that and get through an event without anybody getting injured or without a situation getting worse, I think that's the key thing to remember and take away from any of these type incidents. It's easy in the aftermath to second guess, to say, well, you should have, or you could have, or you would have. But those decisions are made in split seconds. And the fact that both of those incidents were resolved without injuries, I think both those law enforcement agencies deserve a lot of credit.
Good point. Yes, Mayor.
The could have, should have, would have. I want to underscore the fact why I'm so proud of the way our agency's done this, because they did take the time to reflect on that and learn from it. When I think lesser organizations would have just said, don't tell me about the coulda, shoulda, wouldas. I don't even want to reflect on it or consider it or learn anything from
it.
Too late. Yeah. And that's why I'm so proud of the way we did this. And I mean, an event like that would never have happened the way it happened, because of the learning that we've engaged in since that point.
How did it look from your vantage point, Chief McCracken?
Well, I would certainly agree with what Chief Jones had to say. These were very difficult situations, potentially very volatile, and in my estimation were handled properly by the agencies, particularly given that there were no injuries, as Chief Jones stated earlier.
Mayor Stevens.
These are really important public policy issues, and we've already talked about the value of having established relationships between the various agencies and how important that is. We've talked about having relationships with the citizens, but ultimately we're talking about use of force. And so in Hillsborough, we're paying very, very close attention to what's happening. And this is a national conversation. These are local conversations. How do we go? How are people trained to make those split second decisions, and what's our existing relationships and what context? This is not lightweight stuff.
And I think that's an important point. Law enforcement could arrest people lots of times that they don't, because they, use good judgment and figure out other solutions.
Well, making incredible judgments every single day, and then and again with the officers. I mean, we're investing in body cams, and you have car cams, so everything you do is being watched, and yet we're very much responsible to the citizens, and well, we should be watched. Mm-hmm. So these are tough policy issues, and I know around the room we're all looking at them proactively.
Well, the thread that I hear coming from all of you is it gets back to the central issue of communications. And public safety is a lot about communications, what you inform citizens of and what citizens inform you of and how we use that information. And as we mentioned, Chief Blue with his website information, that any citizen can now go and put in an address and you can see all the crimes around there that have or formerly occurred. You can learn all sorts of things, and we're using all of this technology to help us better police our communities. Well, you know, believe it or not, we're at the end of our time. And you've been listening to Hour 2 of the 2014 WCHL Community Forum on the topic of public safety. And let me thank our panelists, Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt of Chapel Hill, Mayor Tom Stevens of Hillsboro, Chief of Police Chris Blue of Chapel Hill, Chief Jeff McCracken of UNC Public Safety, Chief Dan Jones of the Chapel Hill Police Fire Department, and Chief Walter Horton, our newest chief in the area, from Carrboro. I want to thank all of you. And everybody should know you can hear this and every one of today's forums on our website at chapelboro.com and during the rebroadcast that will appear on WCHL in the coming weeks. So stay tuned out there in the listening public, because our next discussion will be on economic development. And I'm Fred Black. Thanks for listening.
WCHL.